Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning. It's Willard Sapriston.
And Peter Greco.
Saturday, July 27th at 10:05.
July?
January. I'm so cold, I want the summer. Call us at 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541, 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. If you're listening tonight on the rebroadcast from 12 to 1, we're not here. If you're listening live and streaming on our website, Sapriston, SAPERSTON.com, from anywhere in the world, we're here now. And the show's brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, FINRA SIPC, MSRB, and RIA. 803-1520-800-879-7541.
And by the way, at our website, sapriston.com, all of our shows are archived. So if you miss a show or you want to replay the show,
or a symbol,
you can go there. Or if you want to hear what the symbol was, because we don't remember. Don't forget, we're getting older, and we don't remember to repeat the signal. Symbol.
You're talking like I feel.
Or the stock. But anyway, we will try to do that.
Well, we'll be good for one show, and then we'll forget.
Yeah, we forget it right after that. But right now, phone lines are wide open, and we always say, give us a call early, because there were 2 weeks previously where we left at least one caller on the line at the end of the show. So
usually
very easy to get in
two,
early.
Usually.
Yeah. So, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And obviously, the phone lines are wide open right now.
Free economic research from Stone and McCarthy has a vignette on the 10-year note, which closed at 2.66 yesterday and a week from Friday, and 2.41 a month ago and 2.48 a year ago. It really hasn't changed much from a year ago.
It's interesting because there was probably I forgot what the name of the guy was from Neuberg Berman. You know, he's probably over the year 76 years old right now, and he's done exceptionally well with his picks over the years, his research for Neuberg Berman, and he thinks the economy is going to grow 3.5% to 4% for the next 2 years.
I'm impressed.
And that's amazing. And it also, would explain the rise in bond yields if the economy is really going to grow at 3.5% to 4%.
So good morning, see. Art. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. My favorite financial guys are on the with me.
Well, nice of you to say that.
You guys are great. I really enjoy you.
IMMU.
That is one of the two items today. Yeah, one of the two stocks.
Just have a
look. I see it closed at 1802. It was up 203 for the week.
Yeah.
It did hit a high of 1893 sometime during the week.
Well, the price objective is 33 on point and figure. So
what is it? 33?
33. Oh. Now, that's a mechanical price objective. But
okay.
Historically, well, they've been pretty good.
How does it differ from a mechanical from, say, objective the technician would look at?
Well, people come up with objectives all different ways, you know.
Right.
One person I follow, he draws channels, you know, on stocks, projects. Since the stock has been rising in a channel, if it hits the top of the channel, and his price objectives, next price objectives for IMMU are 21 and 23. You know.
Right, right.
Yep.
See, I'm really shocked because it seems like I mentioned before with the new management system there and some potential. And Willard gave me that website which I read through from that one fella.
Mm-hmm.
And it really seems like you know, it seems to be moving nicely.
But once again, like we always say, the sector is very hot right now. Biotech,
right, biotech,
very hot. A lot of takeovers. Very, very hot area. So stocks in that sector should do well. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Second item would be Zimmer Biomet. It's ZBH. It was a spinoff from some other company I had at one time. It might have been Bristol Myers. It's 126 up to 75, and its high is 133. So I knew it had gone way down, and low was 108 for the year.
Well, price objective 160. Point and figure, but it's really got to get to about 134 to get moving, because that was the old high several times.
Oh, I see. Okay, great. Two quick questions. Is the broadcast studio where you broadcast in the same building as your office area up in Hamilton? Or
No.
Different buildings?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. The other item, the Barron's, I just went through today, this morning, and they don't really list the Wilshire 5000. That it does show what it is in the Bergen Record, I get. Is there a reason they don't list that? That used to be a big thing, covering a lot of stocks.
Peter.
Don't know.
Say something.
Don't know.
Intelligent.
I can't, you know, without looking at Barron's, I can't tell you whether it's there or not there. So I'll have to take your word for it.
Yeah, it's the Russell 2000 and several other, you know.
Yeah, it depends where. I mean, are you talking about where they list all the averages, like?
Yes, Vital Signs, right, exactly.
The Dow and then the S&P indexes.
Yeah, and I compare it to what I saw, you know, in the close on the.
You know, they have so many listed there. I bet you somewhere else in Barron's they have the Wilshire listed.
Okay.
You know, there's an index in Barron's, Art.
Which one?
No, there's an index alphabetical.
Yes, I went through it to see if my MU Zimmer was in that.
Yeah, right. And maybe the Russell 5000 shows up.
No, I know what page he's talking about, you know, because I looked through it. They just have so many listed there, they probably just don't list the Wilshire there, you know.
Right, right.
But I would bet someplace they list it, you know.
Okay, because the Bergen has it. I used to track that. Yeah. In my six-month thing, but Russell, the Wilshire, and Nikkei and things like that. And I didn't see the Wilshire 5.
So, how did you get interested in stocks?
This is a good question. I started investing with utilities when I was a youngster, when I was in my 20s, because my father was big in that. Public Service, Pacific Gas, Southwest. So I got into that, and then I branched out into the pharmaceutical. Since I was working with Shearing Plow, so the Bristol Myers was Squibb originally. Seemed like a very good investment, so I bought that and I rode that up to the ceiling right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and that's it. And then the mutual funds, like I bought one from American Century, which was $6 or $8.
Yeah.
It's been about $47, $48, and it kicked out a $31,000 capital gains in December.
Oh.
The price went down, and it's right back up to before the capital gains distribution. It's about 47 again now.
So you've been pretty good over the years, but it's a long time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I started in my 20s. 50 years ago, I started investing slightly, you know.
Yeah.
And then I got the a nice pension, and I had Social Security. So I've been retired 22 years now, and really enjoying it every year.
Now, how would you get a young person involved in this?
Well, I'd show them, you know, the advantage of compounding, reinvesting dividends and picking certain kinds of mutual funds And using the retirement package, like if you get a 401k, and using any IRAs you can, and that's pretty much it, I guess. Because I have a niece and a niece's husband, which I'm going to try and help out a bit, you know, to see how we can do it. And I got two sisters, too, so. And none of them are financial, you know, type
people. Yeah, yeah. Well, but you were sort of an accountant by training, I think.
I used to do income tax, and I was always very interested in finance and money and things of that nature. But and I did, you know, my father was an accountant. He was a registered municipal accountant. Yeah. And everyone in the family practically was an accountant, my uncles and things like that. And for some reason, I went to chemistry. And
then, shame on you.
Yeah, I went to chemistry. And in fact, my accountant now, occasionally he says to me, if I have time, he'd like me to come out and help him do the checking, even though he does it on the computer to review everything. I said, no, I don't have enough time to do that. You do our taxes, and that's it. You know.
That's it, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Well, again, I loved hearing you, and I don't have you on a new computer yet, but I got to go down and do some wash, and I'll listen to you at midnight tonight.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much again.
Take care, Art.
Bye.
You're listening to The Dollar Doctors, Willard Saperston, Peter Greco, Saturday, January 27th, 2018. Call us 803-0321 or 1-800-879-7541. Good morning, Vic.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's your greatest play this week?
I got a couple stocks. I got into the first one already. The second one's on my watch list. First one is INVA.
I am as in mother VA?
No, Nancy Victor Eloquicious.
Eloquicious.
It's a name of male name.
Theravance. It sells at $15.
That's the one.
Looks like it. The chart looks wonderful.
Yeah, it's a little stutter breakout on it from a beautiful chart. Little stutter step for a couple days. Now I bought it on the second day down. Came back to my moving average that I was watching, and I went long it. What do you like the chart?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like you've got a potential of 19 to 20 point in figure, projective of 25.
Peter, you like the chart?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's broke out of a nice consolidation there. You know, it's actually for almost 2 years.
It couldn't get past 13, 14 2 years, what he's saying. And now it seems to be going.
Yep.
What do they do?
That's a drug company.
Figured it was, because when you get a cold, you take Theravance, I think. You know, but anyway, I don't know if it's the same company, but.
Second one is NVCR. I haven't pulled the plug on that one. I'm looking for it to retrace back to the moving average I follow, and I may go long once I get a move up after that. I like to wait till he's come after this breakout day from a beautiful chart. I like that 2-3 day little stutter step on low volume, and then I'll put a buy stop in over, just over the high of the second. That's been my thing for 3-4 years now. But yeah. I like this one.
That's a major breakout, year long consolidation there. Yep.
Major.
Yep.
Look at the volume on this last couple of the breakout too.
No, looks very, very good in there.
Put a new box in yesterday.
And then, but I'm hoping you get a couple down, you know, days on low volume where it just back to a move, you know, decent moving average, and then pound the thing on the next up move.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see it hold, you know, 21, 22 if it pull back, you know.
So what do I like? I follow this one guy, and I've been on this guy's bandwagon for 3-4 years. But 4 months ago, this guy was big as short the American dollar, go long euro, yen, and this guy. And the other thing he likes the commodity space. DBC, I'm sorry. And then he came out with another one the other day. He's starting to go long the DBA now. You guys didn't like that one, but he likes that one. DBA, yeah. DBA.
The agricultural one that's still stuck in the mud, you know.
Oh, so. I know, but it's all of these. He sends out a chart on Friday, and he went through it, and he kind of like, I haven't done anything with that, though. But the market, he likes the pharmaceutical. Believe it or not, he thinks what's going to lead the market. If the market's got legs, he loves pharmaceutical.
Well, the strongest sector so far this year is healthcare.
Yeah. Biotech and pharmaceutical.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's where it's been so far.
And then the other thing, Willard, did you get your AI this week yet?
Yes.
Did you have a chance to read it?
Somewhat. And what did you like about it?
Well, I'll tell you what I didn't like. You want to let me start with that?
And then I'll tell you what I didn't like.
Okay, they got this retired Ancho there, this Clunan.
Yes.
He comes out with this level 3. And he comes out with a book. They're always touting the book in all the monthlies. They tout the book on the online. They want the members to jump on this book. Have you done any reading on it?
Well, I didn't buy the book, if that's what you mean.
No, but you understand. Well, you have a general knowledge of what level his level 3 thesis is.
I don't remember.
Okay, here's his level 3 thesis. Okay, if you don't want to buy common stocks, if you don't want to buy mutual funds, your equity. If you just want to buy something and leave it alone, as far as your equity portion of a portfolio. He's got 3 ETFs that he wants you to basically invest in. One would be equal-weighted S&P 500, that RSP.
That's right. I read this.
Okay. The other one is, S&P, the top 100 in the, it was not an S&P 500, but it'd be an S&P 1000.
Yeah.
Equal-weighted. And the third part would be VNQ, which is the REIT.
That's okay. Right. And, of course, REITs are out of favor right now.
Right, right. So,
and we sold our VNQ. That doesn't mean anything. I'm just a little more active than he might be.
So what I don't understand, in fact, I'm going to send a letter to them just to have them explain it a little further. You know, I put the RSP alongside that top 1,000 S&P equal weighted. And it's basically the same thing over the last 10 years,
yeah.
Other than a percentage point going which way. Now, his claim is he wants to beat the S&P 500 with this combination. Okay?
Well,
what?
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, but my point is, he's got, of this equity portion of a portfolio, he's got 75% of it tied up in two basically similar vehicles.
Well, basically two total index funds, right? Total stock index funds, right?
Yeah, S&P, yeah, right. Equal-weighted S&P, which is going to get all the big ones. But he feels that this, I did some more reading, this 1,000 fund, the equal-weighted is going to get you into more mid-cap.
Yeah, I read that, which makes sense.
I'm very disappointed in this month's letter or magazine, whatever you call it. I just didn't see. And then they offered 60 different portfolios or something. Who's going to go through 60 portfolios? Way too complicated.
Well, how do you not include any touch of international, and how do you not include any small cap? If you're telling your subscribers, listen, leave it up to me with this level 3. I'm giving you a total, all you need to worry about on an equity side of a portfolio, it is what I'm giving you, and you're giving me 3 products, and 2 of those products basically mimic each other, and they're both highly towards the large cap, slightly upper mid cap, and a REIT. How do you not give somebody international and small cap?
I read this because I scan everything in the evening in bed, and I thought the guy was a moron.
I 100% agree with you. And they tell this guy, and they come out with this book, and this is the book, and this is what myself as an investor is going to put all of my equity. If I don't want to get involved in mutual funds or common stock, I'm going to put everything in this. I'm going to roll the dice on large cap and REITs as far as a total equity. You got to be kidding me. I'd rather go 20 large, 20 mid, 20 small, do 20 emerging and 20 international. And guess what? Over 20 years, I'm going to probably beat this guy.
Well, what I think's going on there is, didn't the editor retire, one of the guys, last year?
Right.
And I think already you're seeing a big difference in this. I didn't see any benefit, it's only 1 month out of 12, so.
No, my bone is just this level three, how they tout this thing.
Well, I didn't get any ideas out of it. Let's put it that way. And I want to see if there's anything good next month. That's all.
What do you guys like sectors with this market going and where it's going?
Well, once again, the top sectors are healthcare, technology. You know, semiconductors are still the second best sector in the market.
Right. MU's got a great chart.
Yeah, and believe it or not, consumer discretionary, if you use the XLY, is right up there, tied near the top for the top performance, you know.
Yeah, you wait for a market like this for years. You can't doubt them. You just got to play with it and go stay long until you get some type of correction.
You can't call the market top. You just have to stay with it.
Somebody said in this kind of market, make your money while you can. This market is giving you that opportunity, you know.
I 100% agree. I mean, you open up your computer every day and you're up, up, up. You just got to ride it but be smart on the when to know when to bail out. I've been riding these builders, the ETF and DHI for, a year now, and I got stops in. I got stops on one at the 20 exponential. I got to stop at the other one at the 22 exponential because I want to give it a little more room on each step. But I'm out of it if it comes back. I'm not gonna give them back that money.
If you look at our research from Stone and McCarthy on our website, they've got a graph this week, posted this morning, of home sales versus new home sales.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, it looks terrific. And the high for those two was about 2003, 4, or 5 at their index of 7,000, and they're at 5,700, and new home sales at 4,500. So
right.
if you go back to the old high, you got another 30% here anyway.
Look at real quick, and then I'll give another. Look at ITB. That's the one I'm in. Mm-hmm.
I was looking this morning. I just don't know where it goes.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you buy a little bit more if you get a little bit of a correction. I don't know. I mean, that's what investing's all about. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, you had a little bit bad news in the home builders and a couple of home builders, and that hit both the ITB and the XHB,
Right, right.
And everybody's having articles now. Is this the end of the housing bubble, they're calling it again, or whatever? But you're doing the right thing. Let price take you out, right?
Right.
Don't try to guess it. Let price take you out. Say, I had a nice run, and if it goes below a certain level, whatever you use, then just follow it. You know,
the other thing you can do is sell partial.
Right. I end up getting out of. I had that JD. I bought JD off a perfect chart, and I got out of it. I put a couple of sells in, and they executed both. The things ran another 4 points last three. Yeah, I was on JD at 38.
I was on JD at 38. It went to 42 or 3. It came back. I sold it. It went back over 40 on high volume. I bought it back.
And, you're still in it.
So now I'm in it. Yeah, the for a client. And the I read something that said don't be afraid to get back into a stock if it shows renewed or better characteristics.
Right.
And yeah, I was flat on the first purchase, but now it's on my watch list. Now I see it break out above I want to say $40, 43, and I buy it back. And now we're in the chips, you know.
Charts are the best. I mean, I've been charts for 8 to 10 years. Guess what? Over the last year, 6 months, you learn things. I mean, I thought I knew a little bit. I don't know nothing. I mean, it's
serious. Feel the same way.
it's just, you could spend hours just fooling around with charts, and then when you, like, I hit this JD, I mean, you feel good about it, but then you you see it run 4 more points on you, ready to kick yourself in the face.
Well, the price objective point and figure is $70 now, and it's at 50, as you know.
Right, but it takes a lot, though, when you've had a nice profit in a couple of weeks to watch this thing drift back and not get antsy to sell, because you don't want to break out even or lose. I mean, that's a whole different, subject matter. There's books written about that.
There's a lot of ways to do it. I mean, a lot of times what I do, if you get a nice profit, in a reasonably short period of time, I take half off, and then I watch, and see what happens next.
All right, guys, great show.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Vic. You are listening to Willard Saperston, Peter Greco Live, The Dollar Doctors. Saturday, January 27th, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management, FinReciprocal, MSRB, RIA. Give us a ring. Ask us about stocks, bonds, at 803-1520 or 800-879-7541. We're going to break.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco of Saperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo 854-7541, toll free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
We're back live. Willard Saperston, Peter Greco, Saturday, January 27th on ESPN 1520. Call us, the Dollar Doctors, at 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. Show's brought to you by Saperston Asset Management, FinReciprocal, MSRB, RIA. Do your own research. Free economic research on the website, saperston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Also a way to get a second opinion on your portfolio there. What else, Peter?
I don't know. You pretty well covered it.
Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I got a question. I've been watching this Netflix just go up and up and up. What do you guys think is, like, is there a price that you have put on this stack?
Yeah, 1,000.
Yeah.
I thought of that myself, but I think 500 might be the first stop.
That's called the seat of the pants projection.
Right, I hear you. Very good.
The price objective on point and figure is 446.
I see. Now, how do you think this... What I've heard and just read, and I don't know anything about, with this Fox Disney combination, is there going to really be? I hear they're so far behind that it's not going to be a big competitive problem for Netflix with when Fox and Disney get together within a, supposedly a year or so. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are the stock is telling you don't worry about it because that news is out. You know, if they were worried, right. The stock wouldn't be acting as well as it is. You know.
I know. Okay.
So,
right.
So the people who know and have looked at it and researched it are buying it because it doesn't matter to them. They don't think it's consequential, you know.
Yeah,
and
well,
unfortunately, I mean, I'm one of the ones in the beginning. I said, Netflix? I mean, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You know, it's never going to work. Right?
I bought it in 1996. I bought the service.
Huh?
And right. I've been pleased ever since. You know,
great. Well, Peter Willer, I thank you, and have a great weekend, and thanks for the information.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Take care. Give us a ring, 803-1520, 803-0321, 800-879-7541, the Dollar Doctors Live. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, guys. You got to buy and hold.
Well, that's what I was almost going to say to Art. I said, I guess buy and hold does work, huh?
Well,
hey, Peter, 50 you years. From talking to me, right?
It depends what you're buying and holding.
I know. That's what I'm going to bring up right now. GMO. I bought it.
GMO? 10 years ago. They still in business or what? I remember when molybdenum, that's what they call
it,
right?
Three times.
Was the hottest thing in the world. All those stocks were going through the roof.
Right. Those are one of the, what do you call it? Or, what's the word they're using?
Such
now?
A rare metal
that,
you know.
Well, I bought it about 10 years ago for around a little over $5.
Oh, you didn't pay, what was it back 5 years ago? What was the high there?
And I've held it since then.
It used to be a lot higher. Okay. A lot higher.
Oh, yeah. A lot. I think it was
much
a
1250.
15, 12.
Yeah.
50.
But it went into a bubble.
It went into a bubble with the rest of them, and they all came crashing down and have never been heard from again.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm calling is I've only got a few hundred shares in my account, and they've been trading between. Oh, the middle 20 cents and 30 cents.
Well, that's a lottery ticket.
And it went up to 40 or 41. And
you doubled your money.
Pardon?
You doubled your money.
Well, if you subtract what I paid for it, I'm
well, I know. Everything's relative, but anyway.
The curious thing about it is that the molybdenum.
Yeah, however you say it.
It went from $6 to about $11.
Did it really?
Pound. Yeah. And, you know, the Chinese own most of this company.
Well, I remember the story. You know, they're the monopoly on molybdenum, you know, mining and everything.
Right.
But this company, if I remember right, was really, really badly managed and everything.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, it was a mess, you know.
I was thinking it had a lot of debt.
So besides the fact that it's not going anywhere, but the price went up about... almost 50%.
Well, what's happening?
Can you tell me anything different?
No. All I can tell you is there's a lot of speculation right now in this market in penny stocks.
Yeah.
And if something starts running, there's all these penny stock trading rooms out there. And as soon as they pick up something that's moving, they jump on it. And they, get on it, it's moving, all right?
Okay.
And then the next room, that's what causes these things to move, you know.
So basically, if it moves a little bit, just to sell it off.
Well, in general, I mean, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, there could be something going on. I don't know, you know, when it really comes down to it. And then, as we know, you have the newsletters that are paid to promote these stocks.
Right.
And they start hitting, you know, and if you're lucky enough, one writes it up. The next day, another one writes it up.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I got the information originally from Howard Ruff.
Okay, there you go. He's still around? I didn't even realize that.
Well, this was...
I didn't either.
10, 11 years ago.
Oh, okay.
He might be dead for
Yeah, he could be dead now, yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's either you just hold it and play it as a lottery ticket and hope someday you really hit it, or you just take your money and go.
Or sell it off and take it against other profits.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah. Well, I said I'd call.
Well, I appreciate it. I haven't heard that stock, GMO, mentioned in a long time.
I know. It's been sitting there doing nothing.
And luckily, it only says General Molly Inc. I don't have to try to say molybdenum again.
Right. So.
Molly, maybe that's why they changed the name.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, and just an addition here, a very high level of awareness is knowing that you don't know anything.
Exactly. Yeah, that's most people don't realize it. I forgot, I don't know who said it, Buffett, Munger, one of those guys. He says, it's not what you don't know that hurts you. It's what you think you know and is not right
exactly.
That hurts you. You know. So anyway.
Well, gentlemen, you have a great weekend.
Okay, you too. Take care.
Thanks,
okay.
Bob.
Okay, bye.
803-0323 or 1-800-879-7541. Willard Sapperston, Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctors. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Willard.
Good morning.
It's heat wave in Buffalo, huh?
That's it.
Hey, guys, I'd like your opinion on Exact Science, EXAS. I took a position in there. I watched that Cramer, he had the CEO on about 3 weeks ago, and everything was hunky-dory. They got something going on to detect liver cancer and one other cancer off the top. I can't remember, but come to find out last week, it was like a yo-yo. The CEO dumped $100,000 worth of stock, and it's right around the $50 support level right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, if it dropped below 45, according to the point and figure chart, you'd be in trouble, but it did have a good day yesterday. It went up a bit, a point or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Was there some other kind of news on this? I thought these were the guys where you send your poop in and they analyze it and you don't have to do a colonoscopy, you know?
That's correct.
Right.
But they also got something for
which to me is a great idea.
Well, <Yeah. laughs> who wouldn't think that's a great idea?
Yeah, it was lung cancer. They got something.
Oh, now okay, yeah.
Lung cancer
but,
and liver.
But I mean, if you rode this all the way up, there were two cell signals already that were given on it. You know, to be out of the thing. You know, so now I mean, are you holding it or?
Yeah, I'm holding it.
Yeah.
Right now.
I mean, the point and figure chart.
Is now around $50 a
yeah.
share.
Point and figure chart is mixed.
Yeah, but it gave two sell signals at much higher prices, you know.
Really? What's the price target on that, if I may ask?
It's going to be a downside target, you know.
Downside target?
Yeah.
63.
Were they giving 63 on it?
Yeah, they're still, really? Well, wait a minute. I'm on the half box.
That's weird. You know.
Yeah. Hold on a minute. Hold on.
That is
here
weird. Did it give a buy signal recently on the point?
There it is.
Yeah.
40.
40 is the downside target, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, technically there was a sell at, what, 56?
Yeah. 56?
There was a big sell at 56 last December, and there was another one recently at 48.
Yep.
And it reversed. But not well.
Yeah. You know, the only thing, well, they don't have a trend line, long-term trend line. Okay. Because I noticed on JD, you know, it looked terrible, and it came down exactly to the long-term trend line, you know. On this, what is this company called? What's the name of it anyway? Exact Science or something?
Exact Science.
Exact Science.
EXAS.
Yeah.
And there's your trend.
Yeah.
And it broke the trend.
I mean, it broke the trend line, so... I mean, obviously, if it made a new low, I'd be out of it, you know.
I see. And do you have time for another one?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's, I've been watching this. It's a $2 stock. M. Mary Y. Yahoo S. Sam Z. Zebra.
We may not be able to get that.
My size, MYSZ, is that what you're
right.
talking about? Yeah. I was in that briefly a couple days ago. I got myself out of it. Then the stupid thing takes off. Anyway.
Yeah, it seems
I mean, it's where you go. You can send your sizes and, you know, and they,
oh,
can
those guys.
They can size it to clothes.
What's the symbol?
MYSZ. MYSZ. My size. Yeah, I think I got out at the low twos, and it runs up to 260 something.
Shouldn't play right. Those little stocks.
Yep.
But it's a pretty good concept.
Yeah, the concept was good.
At least it looks good on the supposedly, advertisement
yeah,
they show you.
Yeah, supposedly, yeah. They get your size and everything, and you get your clothes to size. And
I looked at a long-term chart on it, and it was up over 10 at one time.
Yeah, it's kind of wild, you know. It's kind of a wild stock.
Yeah.
You know, I would use, you know, the recent lows if you were going to get into it as a stop, but that was back near $2 a share, I think, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's quite a ways back. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, that's one I'm watching. I got on the radar.
Yeah, I keep an eye on it. The concept's interesting. I guess, you know, it got hot after they went to a show recently where they were meeting with all of the clothing people, you know.
I see.
To push their concept, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a speculation, you know, as any stock of that price would be, you know.
I got another speculative, mm-hmm. if you got time.
Sure.
It's ATOS. Atos.
ATOS. ATOS.
Where do you come up with these things?
I do a lot of reading. I'm quite involved in the market.
What's the name of the company, though?
Atosa Genetics.
Okay, so it's the right area anyway. You know, it's the biotech area, but the stock
right.
looks...
They got something going on with breast cancer.
Well, that's like a wing
nothing
and a
good, it looks like, on the stock chart.
A wing and a prayer.
A wing and a prayer, huh?
Well, I mean, it's in a solid downtrend, and little biotechs have been hot as anything lately, you know. So unless... But see, what happens with these biotechs, every once in a while, good news comes out, and the thing skyrockets, you know.
Two years ago, it was at 26.
Yeah.
It's now 26 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a lottery ticket, you know. You don't know.
I got it at 32.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to depend on, is some kind of good news going to come out on it, you know.
Yeah. Okay, gentlemen. I don't want to hold time there, and have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot, Ed. Give us a ring. The Dollar Doctors, 803-0324, 1-800-879-7541. Good morning, John.
Hi, good morning, guys. A lot of earnings coming up this week, and I just wondered about two stocks in particular. Apple, what do you think of what's going on with Apple? I mean, you think that's way overrun there because even the price of...
Yes, but I think they bring all that cash back and from Europe, and they'll have nothing. They'll be buying back their own stock, that's my opinion.
Oh, so... I don't expect it to drop much, but...
Well, you never know. I mean, you know, you're always taking a chance on earnings, especially on a stock that's been running and running and running.
And they say the new phone isn't very good. They're gonna discontinue it.
And sometimes, even if they have good news, it isn't good enough for anybody, you know. So you have to decide.
Many times before with Apple.
Yeah, you have to decide. What do you want to do? Do you want to get out ahead of earnings, and if everything's okay, you get back in, or you know, you have to decide what you want to do. You know.
Right.
I can't project. You know, like I say, in this market, I've seen companies come out with good, would look good, and it didn't matter. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Visa's another one coming up, and I own Visa also, and. I sold a little of it, and just, it kept on going up, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's
good.
Tough to gauge that one because it's really had quite a run.
Yeah, it's always tough. Once again, you come into earnings after a big run, you know, mm-hmm. you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you take a little bit more off, you know, just in case. But I would think, you know, the financial area has been very strong. I think
right.
this consumer spending. Was up dramatically, all right?
Right.
So it's got to be helping. So you would assume it's going to be good, but you never know, you know.
Yeah, but it had such a run that I'm thinking, no matter what they come out with, it.
It could be discounted, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
So if you're a little nervous, take a little off the table. You know, you could always get back in, like Willard mentioned before.
Yeah, I did that.
Well,
already,
we don't. But
I'm afraid to take any more off because I'm just a little concerned. The other one is BABA.
BABA, right.
Yeah, that's the other one that's been had quite a run. And
how are you picking your stocks?
Well, I'm just picking them, out of some popularities, some what I, you know, read about. Nothing, I bought that a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
and it's been up and down, but it seems like it just keeps on, it's coming up on earnings, and I don't know what your take is on it as far as the charts.
Well, in a few accounts, I'm long.
This one I don't feel is, once again, you never know with earnings, all right?
Right.
But it's not like it ran straight up. It was bumbling around for at least 6 months, you know.
Yeah, but I guess the...
And then it finally broke out, right? So
the consensus on it sounds great. I mean, it seems like it's...
Well, in a way, you don't like that. You know?
But
the chart's not a straight-up chart, all right?
Right.
And it bumbled around for 6 months last
Between 166 and 190.
It had a consolidation. It consolidated. It broke out ahead of it. I'd be a little less concerned about this one, you know.
Now, on the point and figure, the last one I'd like to talk about is Gilead. I've been in that once. Obviously, it went way down. I bought in somewhere on the 100, 99, 100.
Yep.
And I've been waiting for it to come back. And it's had a little, on the point and figure, it's had quite a run there. What's your thought on that?
Well, somebody just upgraded them. Mm-hmm. And once again, the sector, you're talking GILD, Gilead, it's in the right sector right now. It's in a hot sector.
PE is really good on it. I don't know what they're going to come out with earnings.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like I say, once again, going into earnings, you never know what's going to happen. So you can't project, right now it's coming up to resistance in the
86
area, right?
Yeah.
So at 87, if I wanted to buy it, I'd wait till 87. But that's my policy.
Yeah,
I would pay more knowing that it cleared resistance.
And if it's gonna die, it can die right in here. Right?
Which is only a point and a half away.
Because you're at
the
resistance.
Close,
right.
$80 stock.
So you have to judge on that. You're up against resistance right now. Do you want to go through earnings or not?
Okay. Given all those questions in the overall market now, I would tend to kind of hold like that. You just got through talking about almost all those stocks.
Mm-hmm. But,
Well, Visa spiked up.
Yeah.
And BABA is not spiked up. And that's the difference. That's what Peter was telling you.
Right, right. Exactly.
When they build themselves, up and down some kind of a base, in general, they're not going to drop the way a spike would if some bad news comes out.
So what that means is BABA is probably the one that's going to go down.
I was thinking
because it hasn't spiked as hard as the other ones.
I'm being facetious here. I'm just saying because I said that it'll probably go the other way.
I kind of equate that with like an Amazon. It's like a BABA. It's like you think it's going down. You think it's going down. Next thing you know, it's skyrocketing. So
you have two ways: earnings. Either you get out ahead of earnings if you've made a lot of money, take some money off the table, or you grit your teeth.
You've got to develop your own investment style. Everybody,
there's no definite answer.
You're afraid to sell, which I've been.
One thing about selling: if you made money, you have to start learning. So it goes up further. So what?
You're right.
I made my money. Mm-hmm. Forget about it.
It's always another idea.
And plus, watch it because it's telling you something, and it may give you a spot to get back in again.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because I had somebody do that with earnings, and after the earnings came out, he got out before earnings. After it came out, the stock did better, and he got back in again.
Tech and finance, it's hard for me to. The move in healthcare, like you said, is one of the stronger sectors, so I don't know what to make of it. So, all right, I guess I'll grit my teeth a little bit here.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much.
Take care. That's a strategy. That's okay.
Yep. All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, 803-1520, 803-0321, or 1-800-879-7541. Willard Sapperston, Peter Greco. The Dollar Doctors, good morning, Tom.
Good morning, guys. Got two stacks for you. Take a look at Deere. That's run from like 138 to 171.
Hey, wait until Trump comes out with his $1.7 trillion or whatever infrastructure. Of course, it may have anticipated that already, but
Well, it spiked, as we call it. Price objective point and figure 284. But if I own that, I might sell part of it.
Yeah, but what I'm looking at it to get into it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That's a different story.
Yeah, the 50-day moving average, which would be a buy point, is 155. The stock's at 170. That's
where's a regular chart on that thing anyway?
I just want to see that guy. 1 point. Yeah. It's 165. If you were that lucky.
Yeah, go to stock charts. I don't like the FinViz chart.
Yeah, I know you don't. Oh, you don't like FinViz?
I don't like the chart.
It's easier to access.
Yeah, but I don't like the chart.
You're talking about stock charts?
Yeah,
that's a long tail up, I guess they describe it as.
Well, at the point and figure, you know. Once again, everybody talks this long tail up, you know, and what it means is that it hasn't had a 6-point correction, all right? And what's a 6-point correction is what, 4% or something like that? So it hasn't corrected 4% on the way up. That's all it really means, you know.
It's just what I said, Peter. Yeah. It's about 165.
Yeah. So it hasn't had about a 4% correction since whatever, you know, since it.
You would want to buy it right in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Where do you see the downside?
Someplace
there is a downside on this.
Well, the 50-day, you're right, which is 155, you know.
154, 155.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, it's been consolidating for what, about a week, week and a half, whatever, you know.
You see, I'm not touching anything.
No.
Okay, just so you see that, because
what about
its own thing.
Universal Display, OLED.
Yeah, another one that's running.
I put a stop in yesterday for someone that has it.
I'm looking at these, they're Navaliers picks, and I don't know.
Well, I mean, in this market, you have to buy what's been going, you know. And it's just a matter of determining the risk on it. You know, like we said, deer, the risk is maybe 155. OLED's got clobbered, okay.
I put a stop at 156 using the point and figure yesterday for a client.
So if you looked at OLED, it's coming right down the support from last year, okay, where it began its last run-up. So with Willard's stop, you could buy it, and if it dropped to, what'd you say now, 156, was it, on OLED?
Yeah, but,
and you'd get out, you know.
Unfortunately, the way the point and figure chart works is you get one direction one day. Now, because it closed at 170, okay, you're going to get a reversal, which makes it a buy point at 170 with a stop at 156.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
So look at your point and figure chart. Well, Monday's close. I don't know what will happen on Monday. Yeah.
But where did it close anyway?
170.
Which was a reversal, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And that's what somebody's argued about point and figure charts for a long time. They should include the close in their columns, you know. But
seeing that it closed at 170, you know it reversed, and therefore you could buy it at 170 and put a stop at 156 below this low.
That would be the strategy. So there you go.
Okay, guys.
Thanks for calling. Okay.
Thank you.
And I guess we're going to go next to Judy in Buffalo. Good morning.
Hi, guys. I have a conundrum. I am in Labu, Labu. I bought it at 65. And when it got up to 90, I sold a call for 100, thinking, oh, it's never going to get there. It's a February 100 call. So now the stock is moved up over 100, up to 110.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm wondering is, it just had a breakout yesterday. What do you see as its likelihood of closing the gap or moving downward in the not too distant
future. But they didn't call away the stock on you yet?
No. It's a February call.
Oh, you just bought a call on it, you mean?
No. I sold the call.
Oh, you sold?
They can call that stock at any time because you're in the money so much.
Oh, they can?
Oh, yeah. Oh, anytime. Yeah.
Oh,
anytime.
Interesting.
They don't wait. Yeah. Somebody else didn't know that either.
Now, you've got two choices. You can buy that call back and roll it out further, right? So bring in even more premium, because the further out you go, the more premium you have.
So I could buy it back and sell a call for further out, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and you would bring in more money, but you'd still lose the stock at 100, and they could still call it.
Yeah.
If you don't want it called, you're in trouble. If you're happy to have it called, roll it out and bring in some more premium, or maybe you made your money on it.
Yeah, well, I certainly did make my money.
By the way, Tom Dorsey, who from Dorsey Wright, has a theory that when a stock gets near 100, it'll always go there. So at 90, he's saying, here's a bunch of stocks at 90. There's a high probability they're going to go to 100. You could buy them just for the 10 points.
Right. Well, that's so. Actually, what I was thinking of when I sold the call, I sold it for four. I figured, well, it'll get up to 100, and that'll probably be, you know, where support will be. But it just it didn't stop.
Price objective 129 on the point and figure chart.
129? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's very helpful. One other one, OSTK.
Overstock, boy.
Yeah.
You own it or what?
I have I sold a put on it. That's what I did.
You should own it because my wife shops there a lot.
Oh, really? Where is it anyhow?
It's on the internet.
It's on the internet. But,
that's right. It's,
you know, we bought our bed on the Florida. From
sold
the
put at what
Florida
price?
House there.
Oh, I got into it because, you know, of its...
Well, we got to get going very
Bitcoin.
Quickly.
It's got some Bitcoin in
you'd
it.
Stop
you, sold,
it.
You sold the put at what price?
Oh, 80.
80? So it would get put to you at 80 then.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, so I'm sort of on the...
And you're at risk of that happening any second, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Oh, well, I still think it's got upside potential. Tell your wife to keep shopping there.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye. You have been listening to Willard Sapristan, Peter Greco, The Dollar Doctors. We're live every Saturday morning from 10 to 11. We broadcast 12 to 1 Saturday night. Archived on our website, Sapristan, SAPERSTON.com, with live and streaming on the website and free economic research. As we always say, keep a little powder dry and good night and good luck.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Sapristan and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Sapristan Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Sapristan Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.